You're listening to Talk of the Town with host Juke Van Os. You may email Juke at juke.vanos@whtc.com or call now, 395-1450.
Now, this is Dave Ageman sitting in for Juke Van Os, your hometown radio station. You won't be able to call in on this particular one because this person is calling from outside the area. Right now, I'm going to introduce Kamal Salim. He's a former Muslim Brotherhood member. We used to be enemies when we were in the military. Now we're brothers in the Lord, if you will. He got started at age 7, running guns into Israel. He came to America to bring us down. Instead, he immediately got into a severe car accident. He converted to Christianity. He wrote a book entitled Blood of the Lambs. Absolutely outstanding book. I've read it twice. He's spoken all over the United States, colleges, churches, schools, Air Force Academy. I even had him come to the state capitol along with a General Boykin to speak to the legislators. Welcome, Kamal Salim. Are you on the line?
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Dave. It's good to hear your voice. Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to be with you this morning.
We don't have a lot of time, Kamal, so I'd like to have you get right into it. How did you get involved with this? And tell us some about the radical Islam, what's going on, what we can expect to happen in the future, both in America and elsewhere.
Well, radical Islam is, you know, the way they start is you have the moderate Muslims and you have the radical Muslims. The radical Muslim radicalized the moderate Muslim through the Quran, through the Hadith, and through the Seerah, which is they move into the moderate Muslims and into a mosque in here in the United States of America, for example, just like the brothers in Boston. And little by little, they change them, you know, from moderate to radical, and this is how it starts, and they become part of a radical cell. So this is called, local jihad, which is it's brought from a localized jihad. And so when we see this, this is how they start moving forward. Now, coming to the United States of America, you know, the teaching of the Muslim Brotherhood, when I came to the Muslim Brotherhood, I was a very young boy. I was 7 years old. And I started with them at that age. And from that age, I was indoctrinated. I was changed. I was literally brainwashed that our laws are higher than any other, you know, nation laws. And our ways are the way of Allah. While, you know, America and Israel are our biggest enemy. United States of America is the great Satan and Israel is the small Satan. So therefore, in order to destroy all the power of hell, we must destroy United States of America first. And the only way to destroy America is we could not destroy America by the ways of Al-Qaeda, for example, you know, like hitting the 9/11 towers with airplanes. The methodology that the Muslim Brotherhood was creating, it is how to enter culture with civilization jihad, with stealth jihad, and also to move into the political arena. You know, jihad splits the four different legs. The first jihad is, you know, for Muslim to be better within himself, and that's less than 5%. But the second one, it's called political jihad. And the third one is called the jurisprudence, which is the 9/11. And the last one's called the al-kitman, or al-taqiyya, which is to lie to your enemy and deceive your enemy until you enslave them, to fulfill the hadith by Muhammad, which is the tradition of Muhammad. He said, befriend your enemy until you make them your slaves. So therefore, you know, it is the duty of every Muslim, you know, to war, to go into jihad. The Holy Quran, you know, of the Muslim says, you know, some of you are, you know, befriending those who are disbelievers. You know, that's from the Quran 5 and 80. Certainly that is evil. He said you could not befriend with other than Muslim, that Allah become displeased with you and you'll abide in hell if you make friend with them. The only way you can make friend with them is to deceive them specifically to mislead the culture. So we came here to the United States of America for that purpose, to mislead the culture and establish civilization jihad from within. Because we understood in order to bring culture down, you could not bring it from outside. You have to bring it from the inside. So therefore, the infiltration that we came to do is we came from within to the United States of America. And, you know, the territory that we, you know, I was commissioned with, there were three different territories. The first one, it was in specifically in the universities. This is where you created, you know, a Muslim Brotherhood, created specifically the Muslim Student Association, Muslim Student Union, you know, young American youth, Islamic Youth for America, you know, and these are the group and organization that they are shifting the tectonic plates of our children. We understood that when the study shows, you know, by the Baptist Council, that four out of five young students, when they enter the university, Christian students, they will fall by the wayside and leave their Christianity right there at the university. You know, so therefore, the Muslim understood that that study, and therefore they thrived on those people to tell them that we worship the same God and we are same people like you, and we just, you know, people of peace, but, you know, your world is corrupt. And therefore, Islam came as a final testament, as the Bible, the second testament, came over the first testament. You know, so God removed the Jews and put the Christians, and God called the Muslims to be the final testament. Therefore, we recruit the young men right there, and we try to convert them, even to the point like what you saw, what happened in Nairobi just recently. These were American students who were recruited here in the United States of America to commit terrorism act with Al-Shabaab, you know, part of Al-Qaeda, you know, offshoot from Al-Qaeda, right there, killing people in Kenya, killing Christians and what so have you. And so when you see this, this is the, we came to university to shift everything and to recruit professors. Professors today in the universities are the biggest weapon that the Muslim Brotherhood is holding. And what is that? They are buying professors because, you know, they understood that these professors are not paid well enough, and now they send them overseas, just like Turkey, just like the UAE, just like United, you know, like Saudi Arabia. And they send the university over there, indoctrinate them. And these professors come in here and pretending to be a good American citizen, but yet they were shifting the culture from the student, you know. So, and when we see this, you see it today in Christian universities. Professors in Christian universities, they proclaim that they are Christian, just like our president. And but yet they support Islam and they envy Islam and they, you know, and they champion Islam. So therefore, you know, this is specifically, it's a way of invasion to the civilization. You speak with one tongue and you are something else. This is a doctrine of deception. This is what deception is. In Islam, it's one of this, you know, surah, you know, which is a book in the Quran. It says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مَكْرِينَ. And the Christian and Jews have deceived, but Allah has deceived as well. But Allah is the greatest deceiver. So they thrive on deception. Is part of their finagle and part of their power. It's how to deceive their enemy. You know, and so therefore, we came to marry the American women right there at the university, you know, and obtain that marriage, to obtain one thing specific, the American citizenship. And when we obtain American citizenship, we can turn against the American culture by using its constitution against it, just like David used the sword of Goliath and took his head off. And this is with the theology that we came with, that we, and only to, the only way to destroy the American culture is by their own laws and bylaws. So we came to do this, and also we came specifically to penetrate the jail system, to cause disorder between the rank of black and white. You know, we found out that the black community are weaker and they have, you know, they lack of understanding. So we thought if we recruit them and convert them to Islam, therefore we can shift the nation to the point to create clash of culture. And this is right now what's happening in the United States. That's part of the issues that we have, you know, and we see in the segregation happening and championed even by high places in the government. And the last place, it was the poor neighborhood that, you know, we believe that since the church left from the poor neighborhood, that we can go there, we can feed the poor, and the more we feed them, sooner or later they want to know about our God, and this way we can recruit their children and young, you know, and everybody else and move forward. But what we found out, that even the politicians are more hungry for finances and willing to do anything we want. So therefore, today you can see the Turkish government is moving and moving politicians all the way to Turkey.
And this is Dave Ageman sitting in for Juk Panos. Again, I have a very important guest here today called Kamal Saleem, former Muslim Brotherhood terrorist, came to the United States to try to take us down, became a Christian. He's on the line right now. Kamal, are you still on?
Yes, sir. I'm with you, standing by.
Yeah, please go ahead and with your conversation. And I'd like to also have you explain to the people out there how, for example, in the United States, I know that we've had 70 cases where liberal judges have used foreign law. And one of those, 50 of those 70 or so have been Sharia law, which are not compatible with our Constitution. Okay, is there anything you can say about that? What is really Sharia law? What does it encompass, and why should we be afraid of it?
Yes, Sharia law is the constitution of Islam. And the Muslim, you know, we see the Jewish people and the Christian people, the Hindu, the Buddhist, none of these ranks wanted to establish their laws in the United States of America. The only people that we see that they want to establish this is the Muslim Brotherhood. Who is the Muslim Brotherhood? CARE, Council American Islamic Relation, ISNA, you know, organization, Islamic, you know, centers, you know, which is right here in the United States of America. They take on different forms and different names, and they have over 100 offices with different organizations, from medical association to pharmaceutical to different banking business, you know, specifically to penetrate with Sharia law. So what is Sharia law? Sharia law, it dictates to the Muslim how to live, how to breathe, how to do everything. So therefore, they could not live within without Sharia. They have to live within it. So it tells them, it dictates to them how to live. The Muslim look at the American Constitution as the sick man law. What is the sick man law? Is a constitution made by man to serve man. For example, it says by the people, for the people, of the people. The Muslim believe they are totally against this, because you have to be subjugated to Islam in order to serve under the Islamic law, which is Sharia law. So therefore, the American Constitution must be destroyed sooner or later in order for Sharia law to exist in America. And how they are penetrating our world with this, they're bringing their finances and letting us borrow monies. So now they're infiltrating our bank, you know, and they said the only way you can use our money if we allow Sharia law banking. The other part is, it's coming into our court. They are introducing it so wickedly. For example, we look at what happened in one of our New Jersey. What happened is, this woman went and sued her husband, who is an imam. And she said that he beats me up every day to the point that her eye almost came out of her socket, you know, eye socket. And what he wants sex. And I could not have sex with him because I have scar tissues from previous, issues. And with this, what happened, she said, I want to be, just have something against him to stop him. So what he said, well, when I married her under Islamic constitution, Sharia law. So therefore, you know, under Sharia law, she is my servant and she belongs to me. And as long as I ask her for sex, she must give it to me, because this is the law of Islam. That rijalu qawwamun 'ala an-nisa, you know, men subjugate the women. So he said, even in the Quran, it says, if women disobey, you have the right to beat her up. And she married me, and she understood this. So the judge was a female judge. She said, well, you married him under Islamic constitution. So she let her go. She said, well, you lost this case because he's an imam and he married you on this. So the woman turned around and sues the court. She said, I came to the United States of America to live under the American Constitution and have my freedom as a free American person and to be free from the Islamic Constitution. So therefore, she won the case by that issue. They are entering. There's over 84 cases in the United States of America right now, as we know. They are, they're entering our court system on purpose, and these Muslims are making those laws specifically like this, and they cause an issue so they can allow Sharia law to practice within our judicial system. And also it's infiltrating through our education system. Nowadays, the curriculum for our students that's coming dictated by two Islamic organizations that they are writing those books, and now they are shifting our American culture through history and geography, not through religion classes, but history and geography. And little by little, they are introducing our culture to a way better than any other things. But for example, they said Islam is the first are the first people who found the United States of America. You see, what we need to understand that Islam, statistically, this was done by the Pew reporting. When they are at 2%, they start, they are very calm, very nice, very easy people, easy to get along with. But when they go from 2% to 5%, they start causing dawah, which is proselytizing, and they start, invading the school system, the jail, gang, poor area, ethnic minority, and become it to evaluate itself as a religious system within those areas. But when it moves into the political system, when it becomes 5% to 8%. And this is where we're seeing in America, it is moving into this. They start asking for self-ruling, for governing, for using Sharia as the law, as part of the American law, American Constitution. And they establish also settlement, and they start asking to have the freedom to practice their Sharia within their settlement, and they can split the culture and cause a confusion within that culture, Western civilization. It's happening now all over Europe. But when they move from...
Just a second here, Kamal, if I can just interrupt a second here. That's what's going on in England, is it not? They have Sharia law courts, Sharia law zones, and so forth, once they got to a certain percentage, and now they're taking over the courts there. Is that correct?
Well, they're asking for self-ruling, and they're asking for even... They're introducing as Islam to be the law of the land, because the Sikh man constitution has failed, and lawlessness is becoming part of the land over there, and... like the alcohol, the sex, the homosexuality, all these things, when they thrive in the land, Islam introduced itself as a higher and better solution, as a value solution to the nation. And believe it or not, it's working. You can see it in Europe between Denmark and England. Both of them are racing who's going to become first Islamic nation.
So Kamal, what I'm hearing you saying, and I've heard you speak before many times, but what can we, as Christians and U.S. citizens, what should we be doing? What do we need to be aware of other than what you said? But how do you think we can stop this? I know I tried to get the American law for American courts passed to try to stop progressive judges from allowing Sharia and other foreign laws in a court of law when it causes somebody to lose their constitutional rights, and I wasn't allowed to get that passed because the Speaker of the House wouldn't allow a vote on it, even though I had the votes to pass it. But what can the people do?
Well, the problem here is people are clueless, and what we need to do is... Knowledge is the most important thing, is to educate yourself in those knowledges. This is what I do. We have what's so-called Qum Ministries, and we come and we educate, whether it's secular or Christian or Hebraic or Jewish, So we educate how to be involved, how to be engaged in all these things. Number one, understand what the subject is. Then the other part, we as American people who love our nation, and we need to start getting involved after we know what we're dealing with, and start running for an office. We can run for different office, starting with your PTA at that school and city council. These are small, small jobs. And the church, or the synagogue, start championing somebody to run for them and start getting involved. The other thing is start knowing what our political leaders doing in this nation, and start telling them no to this and yes to that, and start using the phone. The other thing is start establishing like an internet, Twitter's, start blogging and talking to each other, educating each other on the subject.
Kamal, I just want to interrupt here just for a second here. I agree with you 110%. I just want you to know how things really work, and even in the state of Michigan. As a state legislator, I was invited to go to Turkey, and before I left, I had a briefing by Kamal, who you're hearing right now, and General Boykin, three-star general, head of Delta Force. Here's what they're going to tell you, Dave. They're going to tell you they want more green cards, they want more worker permits, and they just want to be friendly with America, and they have freedom of religion, and all that's not true. It's really to try to get here, to try to tell these legislators that we're really good and we don't have an agenda. But they do have an agenda. They're taking people from all over the United States over there, treating them very nice to come back to try to gain favor. Once they gain the favor, they try to take over. And that's their goal, to take over the world for radical Islam. We've got about 1 minute to go here. One last thing you want to say before we go on a break, come on.
Yeah, no to foreign laws in the United States of America. Our law is the supreme law, and our nation, even our laws, are founded by God, and we must stand for what is good and pure and lovely, and fight for that truth, because our children and grandchildren will lose the battle if we don't fight for them today. It is our battle to stand for them and say no to all these things.
Kamal, thanks for coming on the show today. I certainly appreciate it.